Hallelujah. His presence is truly here. We ushered it right on in. Hallelujah. Glory. Father, we just thank you. We give you praise. We give you honor. We give you the glory. We bind every scheme, every attack, every assignment that the enemy has sent to come against us right now. We bind it right now. We cancel it right now. And we loose your power, Father. We loose your peace. We loose your joy. And we just thank you, Father God. All of you and none of me. Hallelujah. I am an empty, willing vessel. And I just thank you, Father God, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Glory. When I was most of you may have been here the morning that I gave the testimony about a friend of mine who I had never met, who allowed Jessica to use her vehicle while her vehicle is being fixed, and she still has the vehicle. And she gave me this devotional, very nice devotional. And when the pastors had asked me to teach, and they asked me to teach on the subject of joy, and when I was reading the devotional this morning, it's talking about joy. So just God's confirmation that our pastor is truly here from God. And I just want to just read this to you. Learn to live above your circumstances. This requires focused time with me, the one who overcame the world. Trouble and distress are woven into the very fabric of this perishing world. Only my life in you can empower you to face this endless flow of problems with a good cheer. As you sit quietly in my presence, I shine peace into your troubled mind and hearts. Little by little, you are freed from earthly shackles and lifted up above your circumstances. You gain my perspective on your life, enabling you to distinguish between what is important and what is not. Rest in my peace, receiving joy that no one can take away from you. Amen. Hallelujah. That's for somebody tonight. I know it was for me. Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. And I also want to talk. I was listening to Stephen Furtick one day at work, and one of his, I think, associate pastors there was teaching, and I was listening to it, and he was talking about an encounter that he had with Miles Monroe. If you guys remember him, he's deceased now, but he said, Miles Monroe said this to him, and they were riding along. He was his driver, taking him somewhere, and he had to be at the airport real quick from one side of the town to the next. He only had a limited time to get there, and he said that we're going to need an escort, and so they had a police escort there. But then they got in front of probably somebody driving like me, slow. So got behind a person driving slow, but the officer kind of moved them out of the way. But this is what he said, and this just, I rejoiced when I heard this. He said, in your vehicle, you have all the power that you want to get anywhere you want to go. But it is your alignment with the authority in front of you that open doors for you that you cannot open by yourself. Amen. So if they had not have been in alignment in the physical with the officers there to get them through the traffic, they had the power because they had the car, they had the vehicle, but they didn't have the authority. Amen. The officers had the authority to wiggle them through all the traffic. Who's our authority? So we need to stay in alignment with his authority to get where we need to go, because we can't do it by ourselves. And that just was really awesome to me when I listened to that, and I had wrote that down. You see all my little notes when I'm listening. I listen and write. So many papers everywhere. But as you can see, my title tonight is Count It All Joy. Amen. Count It All Joy. And think about your day today. Did something happen to you today that could have stolen your joy? Did you allow someone or a situation to steal your joy? Was it truly worth it in the end? If you had reacted differently to the situation or the person, how would it have turned out? How would your rest of your day had have been? And I was focused on that so much today, not allowing anyone or anything to steal my joy today. And it almost happened like right at 4 o'clock. I had a 4 o'clock meeting from 4 to 4:30, and I was trying to get out of there. I took some vacation time so I can go home, get my mind right, pick up my mom, you know, and come get here in time. I had a 4 o'clock meeting. Lovely. Just lovely. And so and the meeting did not go as I wanted it to go. Just lovely. I'm like, okay. Joy. But so just think about your day. We have to purposely, intentionally protect our joy. We must keep it at all times. It is truly a state of mind that you have to be in. It's a peaceful place. You know, I spoke on peace before, but it's a peaceful place that you have that joy. Don't allow anyone or anything to steal your joy. It's a gift from us that our daddy, our Abba Father, gave to us. So why would we allow someone or something to steal our joy? Because they can't take it. You have to willingly give it up. They have, you know, and they steal it. So some meanings of joy in the noun version: a feeling of great pleasure and happiness. The verb: rejoice. Action: extreme happiness with which the believer contemplates salvation and the bliss of the afterlife. So when you're thinking about that meeting that could have stolen my joy, okay, is it really worth my salvation? Is it really worth that blissful afterlife? And some synonyms of joy is delight, great pleasure, triumph, radiance, and jubilation. Joy. Being happy and having joy is two totally different things. It's different. Something must happen for you to be happy. A raise, the birth of a child, you know, you got this promotion that you wanted, or you have a new car, a new house, you got a new boo, you know, those things make you happy. I'm just saying, they make you happy. But joy, regardless of what happens to you, you will not lose your joy. That's joy. You can be unhappy at times, but as a Christian, we should never lose our joy. Unhappiness is a feeling, and we're human. We have feelings. We have emotions. That's a feeling, but we should never lose our joy. We should never lose our joy. Let's go to Psalms 28:7. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in him, and I am helped. My heart leaps for joy, and I will give thanks to him in song. He's your strength, and he's our shield. Our heart should trust in him. And by him being our strength and being our shield, that should give us the joy that we need to get through any situation, anything that we may be facing, anything that we may be going through. It may be unhappy times, but you can still have that joy knowing that God's got your back, knowing that he has your back. Let's turn to Psalms 34:8. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. And that was an expression of joy. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. That's an expression of joy. Because we can take refuge in him. We can hide in him. We can hide. Like the other scripture said, he's our shelter. We can take refuge in him. Glory to God. Glory. Psalms 126, verse 5 and 6. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Joy. Count it all joy. 96, 5 and 6. Those who sow in tears will reap with joys, with songs of joy. He who goes out weeping, carrying seed to sow, will return with songs of joy, carrying sheaves with him. God sees our tears. He sees our heart. But those tears were turned into bundles of joy. That's what sheaves is, bundles. It's a bundle of grain. We return with bundles, plural, of joy. We just have to trust him. We just have to trust. It's okay to cry. Tears are good. Tears is a sign of cleansing. Tears are good. Tears are good. It's okay to cry, men. It's okay to cry. It's okay to cry. But those tears would turn into joy. Glory to God. He's a good daddy. He's a good daddy. He's a good daddy. Let's go to Isaiah 12 and 6. Shout aloud and sing for joy, people of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel among you. Sing for joy. Not them sad songs, as Pastor Rock said, you know, what he, you know, got Lucille and gone, whatever Pastor Rock be saying. What's that song Pastor Rock said? He got my girl and gone or something. Songs of joy. So like we were singing tonight. Songs of joy. Songs, you know, just that, like the song Hallelujah. And I do believe God loves that song because his presence was so strong during that song. And then singing Rain, Let It Rain, his presence was just so strong. Songs of joy. So, I mean, your voice may not be the best, but sing songs of joy to our daddy. Sing songs of joy. Hallelujah. We're going to read Isaiah 35. And at first, I just had like one scripture in this, but then the Holy Spirit said, no, I need you to read it all. So that's what I'm going to do, okay? And in my Bible, it says this particular chapter is the joy of the redeemed. The desert and the parched land will be glad. The wilderness will rejoice and blossom like the crocus. It will burst into bloom. It will rejoice greatly and shout for joy. The glory of Lebanon will be given to it, the splendor of Carmel and Sharon. They will see the glory of God, the splendor of our God. Strengthen the feeble hands. Steady the knees that give way. Say to those with fearful hearts, be strong, do not fear. Your God will come. He will come with vengeance, with divine retribution. He will come to save you. Then will the eyes of the blind be opened, and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then will the lame leap like a deer, and the mute tongue shout for joy. Water will gush forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. The burning sand will become a pool, the thirsty ground bubbling springs, and the haunts where jackals once lay, grass and reeds and papyrus will grow, and a highway will be there. It will be called the Way of Holiness. The unclean will not journey on it. It will be for those who walk in that way. Wicked fools would not go about on it. No lion would be there, nor would any ferocious beast get up on it. They would not be found there, but only the redeemed will walk there. And the ransom of the Lord will return. They will enter Zion with singing. Everlasting joy will crown their heads. Gladness and joy will overtake them, and sorrow and sighing will flee away. That is an awesome chapter. It tells you just the good, you know, the eyes of the blind is open, the ears of the deaf unstopped, the lame will leap, the mute will talk, they will shout, not just talk, they will shout for joy. They will shout for joy, and everlasting joy will crown their heads, a crown of joy forever. Gladness and joy will overtake them. And I see now why the Holy Spirit led me to read all of that leading up to that, on that one verse that initially I was going to do was just verse 10, but you need the backdrop in order to understand verse 10. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In the next verse is Luke 10 and 20. Now, the backdrop of this is Jesus sent 72 people out. It didn't say men or women because it really didn't matter. He sent 72 people out before him in the cities where he was going to preach and teach and all of that. He sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God is coming. That's what he did. They were all excited when they got back, you know, and everything about casting out demons in Jesus' name. They was like, Jesus, guess what we did? You know, and that's my Wanda's version. And when I read this, I started laughing literally out loud. And Jesus kind of bust their bubble when they got back, you know. He just kind of bust their bubble with what he said. And this is what he said in Luke 10 and 20. However, do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Because they were all excited about casting out demons. Jesus was like, okay. But you should be rejoicing about you going to heaven. Instead of about casting out some little demons. He just bust their bubbles totally. And that was like so cool. And we really should be excited, not downplaying what they did, but they had the wrong, their priorities was wrong. That's what this is saying, that we should be excited when people believe, when unbelievers become believers, when the lost are saved, when the sinners become saved. We should rejoice in that, but get your priorities straight. Get your priorities. We should reach. Well, they was excited about casting out them demons, but Jesus just bust their bubble. Yes, he did. That was just hilarious to me. Luke 15, 3-7. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Does he not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulder and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and say, rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep. I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous who do not need to repent. Amen. And what I like about this too, when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders. Mm-hmm. He didn't make the sheep walk. Hallelujah. He carried the sheep. That's good. He joyfully carried the sheep over his shoulder. That's what Jesus do to us. Those tears we cry when we're in that place, when we think we're all alone and we call on him, he gets us, he puts us on his shoulder joyfully. When we feel like we just can't take another step, we can't breathe, that's him carrying us when we keep going. That's him. But I like that part of it. When he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulder. He doesn't make the sheep walk. He could have, but he didn't. He put it on his shoulder and carried it. Glory to God. Glory, glory, glory. Let's go to Romans 14, 17 through 18. Got a few scriptures, as you can see. But this is how God led me. So I'm just being obedient. Romans 14, 17 through 18. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Spirit. Because anyone who serves Christ in this way is pleasing to God and approved by men. Notice the priority. Pleasing to God, then approved by men. So don't try to please man. Try to please God, because man will let you down every time. You can never please man because they don't know what they want anyway. Right. We don't know what we want. I'm just saying. We're shady sometimes. Please God and you will be approved by men. Glory to God. We get it twisted. Glory. Romans 15:13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. What the Holy Spirit just brought back to me today, I was listening to this message, and it was saying with the woman when she only had the little can of oil and what have you, and the prophet told her to go get everything, you know, go to her neighbors, go where you need to go, bring every vessel you can bring. The vessels was empty. We need to empty out ourselves. We need to empty out regret. We need to empty out unforgiveness. We need to empty that stuff out of us so God can fill us with his joy and peace. We got to trust him with those hurts. We got to empty out those hurts so he can fill us with his joy and with his peace as we trust him. So we got to trust him with the hurts. We got to trust him with those disappointments so he can fill us with his joy and with his peace. Do you trust him? He already know. We just got to talk to him. Give that to him. Get it out of you. Empty yourself of that mess so he can fill you with his joy and his peace. And I'm preaching to myself. Glory. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 1, verse 3 through 7. 1, 3, 2, 7. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all of our troubles, so that we can comfort those in trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. For just as the sufferings of Christ flow into our lives, so also through Christ our comfort overflows. If we are distressed, it is your comfort and salvation. If we are comforted, it is your comfort, which produces in you patient endurance of the same sufferings we suffer. And our hope for you is firm, because we know that just as you share in our sufferings, so also you share in our comfort. And it's a joy. God uses our trials for our future testimonies. And he uses our trials to help someone else. So you may be going through, but you got to be joyful. You may be going through, but you got to be joyful, because you can help somebody else. You don't know who's watching you. It's not what you say, it's what you do. People watching you. So you got to keep that joy, got to keep that smile on your face, because you could be helping someone else and you don't even realize. Watch your walk. It ain't about the talk. We can talk a whole lot of stuff, but it's the walk. It's the walk. God knows your heart. It's the walk. You can do a whole lot of talking, but it's your walk. Glory to God. Glory. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 4, 7 through 10. But we have these treasures in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. Glory to God. And it's another version. I think it's the Message version. I want to read it when I was researching that one, that scripture. I like the Message version as well. So let me go find that real quick here. These awesome phones that I can't see. Glory. Yes, Mother. That's my mama. All right. If you only look at us, you might well miss the brightness. We carry this precious message around in unadorned clay pots of our ordinary lives. That's to prevent anyone from confusing God's incomparable power with us. As it is, there's not much chance of that. You know for yourselves that you're not much to look at. We've been surrounded and battered by troubles, but we're not demoralized. We're not sure what to do, but we know that God knows what to do. We've been spiritually terrorized, but God hasn't left our side. We've been thrown down, but we haven't been broken. What they did to Jesus, they do to us. Trial and torture, mockery and murder. What Jesus did among them, he does in us. He lives. Hallelujah. 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 That ministered to me when I saw that in the message version. That ministered to me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 6, 3 through 10. And this is about Paul, his little hardships he had going on. 6:3-10. We put no stumbling block in anyone's path so that our ministry would not be discredited. Rather, as servants of God, we commend ourselves in every way, in great endurance, in troubles, hardships, and distresses, in beatings, imprisonment, and riots, in hard work, sleepless nights and hunger, in purity, understanding, patience, and kindness, in the Holy Spirit and in sincere love, in truthful speech and in the power of God, with weapons of righteousness in the right hand and in the left, through glory and dishonor, bad report and good report, genuine yet regarded as impostors, known yet regarded as unknown, dying and yet we live, on beaten and yet not killed, sorrowful yet always rejoicing, poor yet making many rich, having nothing and yet possessing everything. Joy. That's joy. Paul was in prison and he was rejoicing. That's joy. Glory to God. 2 Corinthians 7 and 4. After I read this last night, God said, this is for my people. So this is a direct word from God to us. God says, and this is Paul speaking, but God said this is his word to us. I have great confidence in you. I take great pride in you. I am greatly encouraged. In all our troubles, my joy knows no bounds. I said, okay, Lord, I hear you. So that's a word from God for Oasis. That is a word from God for Oasis. When I was studying as well, I found some questions and about what can keep us from finding true joy. The God kind of joy. And my plan was just to give y'all the questions and let you ponder on it, think about it. But as I was studying again last night, the Holy Spirit brought some scriptures to me that kind of answers those questions. And it was really good to me. And so one of the questions that I found was, where can I find true happiness and lasting joy? Let's go to 1 Chronicles 16:27, and I'm going to tell you. 1 Chronicles 16:27. The question again is, where can I find true happiness and lasting joy? Splendor and majesty are before him, strength and joy in his dwelling place. So we find that in his dwelling place. We find that in God's presence. That's where we find the true happiness and the lasting joy, in his presence, stand in his word. That's where we find that joy. So when we face these situations, we know what to do because we have the word inside of us at that time. Glory to God. How do I know, the second question, how do I know that God has good, joy-filled plans for me? Why? I'm so glad you asked that question. Let's just see what God has to say about that. Let's go to Jeremiah 29, 11 through 14. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord. And I will bring you back from captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and places where I have banished you, declares the Lord. And will bring you back to the place from which I carried you into exile. That's where the plan God has for us.
Amen.
Okay? Glory to God. The third question is, how can I choose joy during life's trials and trust God to turn them into joyful blessings? Well, so glad you asked that as well. Let's go to James 1 and 24. Let's see what God has to say about that. Let's see here. Oh, I'm supposed to read that from here. If I read my notes right, I'd be good. Oh, that's, I wrote it wrong in my book and my notes then. Appreciate that right there. I sent it to Chrissy. Yep, I didn't put the dash in there. All right. James 1, verse 2 through 4. Thanks, Chrissy. Consider it nothing but joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you fall into various trials. Be assured that the testing of your faith through experience produces endurance, leading to spiritual maturity and inner peace. And let endurance have its perfect result and do a thorough work so that you may be perfect and completely developed in your faith, lacking in nothing. That's what you do to choose joy during trials, how to turn it into a blessing. The next question is, how can joy grow in my heart when life is always hard? Let's go to Hebrews 12 and 2. And when he brought this scripture to me, I'm like, okay. And then I pondered on it, and then he revealed it to me. The question again is, how can joy grow in my heart when life is always hard? Hebrews 12 and 2. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men so that you would not grow weary and lose heart. Glory to God. And when I was reading this, and I don't know if God was just talking to me or something I need to say, but I'm going to say it. Get over yourself. That's what I heard in my spirit. Get over yourself with that question. Get over yourself. Get over yourself. And remember that, you know, we have to protect our joy. We have to protect it. And when I wrote out joy, and I wrote the acronym, Jesus over yourself, joy. If you put Jesus over yourself, you're going to have that joy. So count it all joy, y'all. Count it all joy. Glory to God. I hope y'all received something tonight. Amen.